You just heard organist Carson P. Kooman perform his organ composition, Dawning. The work, written in 2002, was performed on the organ of Harvard University Memorial Church. Today, up until 11 o'clock, I am being joined by the American organist and composer, Carson P. Kooman. He is one of the most active American composers of his generation, with over 650 works in many forms, ranging from solo instrumental pieces to operas, and from orchestral works to hymn tunes. He is in continual demand for new commissions, and his music has and continues to be performed on all six inhabited continents. Recordings of Kooman's music appear on over seven record labels, and his music appears in collections of most music libraries in the United States. As an active concert organist, Kooman specializes exclusively in the performance of new music. Over 150 new works have been composed for him by composers from around the world, and his performances of the contemporary composers can be heard on a number of CD recordings. Kooman is also a writer on musical subjects, producing articles and reviews frequently for a number of international publications. He is currently the editor of Living Music Journal and has edited musical works of other composers for numerous music publishers. By the way, in case I didn't say it earlier, Carson P. Kooman is 24 years old. Wow. Carson, welcome to Classical Discoveries. I have heard your music often on this program. It is indeed an honor to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marvin. It's great to be here.
I have one question right off the bat, and I'm sure many people have the same question. Carson, do you ever sleep?
Oh, yes. Yes. No, I would say my sleep schedule is fairly normal. I just try and do as much as possible when I'm awake.
Wow. I mean, you have just done so much. It is just staggering to even think about it. Let's talk first about Carson Kooman, the composer. How did you get involved with music and composing, and when did you begin actually your writing?
I began studying piano lessons at between age 3 and 4, you know, the obligatory beginning. Yeah. And I would say it was probably about age 10 or so that I started getting more serious about music. And about that time that I also started composing. And as time went on over the next 5 to 8 years, it became more and more of a focus in my activities.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. And to the point that by the time I was 18 or so, I knew that this was the primary activity that I was going to be doing.
Yeah.
Although a variety of other musical things as well.
Carson, just amazing. Now I'm going to give you a little test.
Okay.
What is your Opus 1?
My Opus 1 is...
Do you remember?
I do. I do. I do. It was in middle school, I was studying the cello as well for a very brief period, and that was it was a set of etudes for cello.
For cello. That's interesting. I thought it would have been a piano piece, actually.
No, not the very beginning, but a long-forgotten piece. But,
and maybe one you still want to forget. As mentioned a few moments ago, Carson, you have written about 650 works. When I think of a very young, prolific composer, two names come to mind immediately, Franz Schubert and Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. What do you attribute all your creativity to? Are your parents musicians also?
My parents aren't professional musicians, but both have certainly been very supportive of music. My father played the cello quite a bit when he was younger. And also certainly my grandparents have been very supportive of my musical activities. My father's mother was in music, studied piano at Eastman and taught music for many years. And my father's father was a designer and maker of custom women's clothing. And I often feel that the kind of creativity he would exhibit in sort of making up these designs and everything out of his head and then executing them is really quite similar to what a composer does.
Well, as we have said already and heard already, you are also a very talented concert organist. How has your work, Carson, as an organist, affected your work as a composer, if at all?
It certainly has. Being an organist and performing music keeps me in contact with composers and in contact with active performance. I I feel those two sides are had sort of different creative impulses, though, and I try and keep them sort of mentally separate. I mean, I compose for the organ, obviously, but I don't really approach that differently from writing for any other instruments. I would say, but they're both things I enjoy and feel are an important part of what I do.
Well, I think we've had a little introduction, and we're going to be talking a tremendous amount more later. But I think now we should go to Carson Kuhlman's music. And I personally, just for interest of the listeners, became very interested in the music of Carson P. Kuhlman through the compact disc of your works titled Threads on the Zimbel label. We will talk more about the label a little later on. In fact, I remember when I aired the first piece I did from that CD, I was interested in you a little, and let you know I was airing it. And I got this very exciting email, which you actually made my day. You knew who I was because of my two Hovhaannes discs on Koch.
Right,
so this was actually, for me, a very exciting moment. But let's go now to your Symphony of Light for String Orchestra, composed in 2003. Now, the work, if I'm not mistaken, is in three movements, right?
And it
tell
is.
Tell us more about it.
Yes, it's three movements entitled Winter Brightnesses, Eternity Canticle, First Light, and then Dawning. And the last movement, Dawning, is an orchestration of the organ piece that you heard that opened the show with a different ending. The original ending was better for organ, and it needed a new ending. And it's three short movements for string orchestra, sort of contemplating aspects of light and warmth and
brightness. You've been inspired by light, it looks like, quite a bit in some of
the work. I would say there's a reasonable number of pieces that connect to the light or the sun or in some way or another. Composers tend to, they tend to keep returning to many of the same themes over and over again.
Do you think that has to do a little bit with your interest in Australian music, which we'll talk a little more about
later? It's conceivable. It's interesting that aspect of the landscape. I have been involved with that, but I've never been to Australia, so that aspect of it, not necessarily, but perhaps at some level.
Well, we are going to hear now, and you may want to explain a little bit about this performance, because we're going to hear both the Moravian Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Vít Mitska, and the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Kirk Trevor, the strings up. Now, we're hearing different artists, orchestras with different movements?
Right. The outer movements were done in Moravia, and the middle movement in Slovakia. There's not any artistic reason for this. I sketched out the piece originally as a three-movement work, and because of scheduling, I wrote the movements separately over time, and they were recorded separately, and when they were done, I put them together. But there's no artistic reason for two orchestras.
Well, I'm very anxious to play this work now. We hear now the Symphony of Light for String Orchestra, composed in 2003 by my guest, Carson P. Kuhlman.
Thank you.
strings of both the Moravian Philharmonic Orchestra and the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra just performed the Symphony of Light, composed in 2003 by my guest, Carson P. Kuhman. Good morning. The time is 2 minutes to nine on Wednesday, August 9th, and you are tuned to WPRB 103.3 FM Princeton, or online around the world at WPRB.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries, a program devoted to rarely heard repertoire of all periods, with an emphasis on the old and the new. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you every Wednesday morning from 6 until 11. Today on Classical Discoveries, up until 11 o'clock, I am being joined by the American organist and composer, Carson P. Kuhman, who, if you have not heard already, has written over 650 works and is only 24 years old. We continue now with a brief selection. Just heard the fanfare, The Sky About to Open, by my guest Carson P. Kuhman. The work was written in 2004 and was performed by the Kiev Philharmonic, conducted by Robert Ian Winston. And that was from Volume 5 of the Valuable Series on the ERM Media label titled Masterworks of the New Era. Carson, welcome back again. Thanks for coming. It's great to have you here. And the work we just heard was dedicated to composer Judith Weir on the occasion of her 50th birthday. She was one of your principal composition teachers. Carson, who else have you studied with, and how has your training influenced your work as a composer?
I've studied primarily with three other individuals, with James Willey, with Bernard Rands, and with Alan Fletcher. And certainly they've all had influence on my work in various ways. I've learned different things from each of them, from Judith, certainly a notion of scoring and color and right. Something that's a great focus of her work. And from Jim Willey, a real sense of formal integration of diverse elements, and particularly not to forget the role that humor can play in contemporary music, which is something I think a lot of composers
forget
in this century have forgotten.
Yes.
And his work is a marvelous blend of all sorts of things together. That's very appealing. And then from Bernard Rands, a sense of craft and structure and things coming out of the mid-century modernist tradition and things in which he had studied and worked. So I've certainly learned a lot from different individuals.
That's great. Well, in addition to your work as an organist and composer, Carson, you are also a writer and contribute articles and reviews on the music of contemporary American and Australian composers. We will talk about Australia in just a little while more specifically. But for now, where can our listeners read some of your work?
In a written vein, yes. There are articles that have appeared in a number of publications, both print publications like the American Organist and American Recorder Society's Journal, American Recorder, and also the Living Music Journal, which I've edited for the past year, and then also various online publications as well, such as England's Music and Vision and such.
Yeah, well, that's great. Again, as I say it, again, Carson, when do you sleep? I tell you, it's just amazing. To do all the writings you do and reviews, you need, of course, to listen to much music. Are there certain composers who have influenced you in your own compositions?
Certainly. I mean, for any composer, that list is very long, so it's hard to specifically say. What I will say is I'll name two composers who for the past year have been major interests of mine, which are Meyer Kupferman and Arnold Rosner, both of whose works I've really obsessed over in the past year. And often when I'm investigating a composer, I really try and get into it as much as possible and hear as much of what they've had to be written, and both of those two composers are really superb musical figures whose work has certainly given me a lot.
Yeah, Arnold Rosner actually was here several years ago, and I did a whole big 60th birthday bash for him on the air back in November, and very, very...
He has some wonderful works, and one of his best pieces, his Fifth Symphony, is now going to be forthcoming on a recording this coming year, and any of us who know that piece are really salivating for that moment.
And I have already contacted the producer, who know anything about some of the composers and the interests of certain producers. Many of you will know who that is, but I have already contacted him that I want that recording ASAP.
It's going to be very exciting. It's an amazing piece.
Well, I remember when that an early work of Rosner's was reviewed some 20 years ago, and I actually knew Rosner's work more as a writer in his dissertation on Hovhaniss when I was doing my own work. But I remember when when his Horn Sonata came out on the Opus 1 LP label. People now are figuring, how old is Marty? You know? But I remember the reviewer of that, Walter Simmons, who is a very good friend of mine and a wonderful musicologist and expert. He mentioned the Fifth Symphony in that review, what we would wait for to hear this piece, and it's finally going to happen.
Yes.
And
so it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait.
And
so
I'm
sure you'll air it right away once it's out. Yeah.
I am sure. Well, Carson, we are now going to continue with your piano concerto, Opus 649. And I'm not kidding, Opus 649, composed in 2005 for piano and strings. The work was actually written, if I'm not mistaken, in celebration of the Mozart year.
Right, it was. It was a commission from Symphonic Underground, which is a chamber orchestra based in Indianapolis. And they had asked me for work for string orchestra with piano as a part of the orchestra. And that didn't particularly interest me at the moment. So I said, how about making the piano be a soloist? And they said, fine. And I was thinking at the time, with all sorts of concerts and events happening in 06 for Mozart, it would be wouldn't be a bad idea to write a piece that was some way connected to that. I would not say that Mozart is a composer who's been very important to me in general. I would say definitely not. But the operas and things I find are superb, but much of the rest of it I can do without.
Well, I'll tell you a secret, as I'm sure most of my listeners know, who are listeners who have seen my website. This is probably one of the closest you'll get to hearing a real Mozart piece, even though it's not by Mozart at all.
And the work has no quotations from Mozart at all. And many of my pieces deal with different kinds of musical material coming together in different ways and structurally. And this is perhaps one of the more extreme ones, in that some of the material is in a classical style, and other parts of it are more modern in more of my own normal idiom. And it comes together in a different way. And over the course of the piece, it sort of moves, it refers to Mozart, and it moves in and out of not just Mozart, but Haydn and other classical traditions. And then references in other ways to other piano concertos over time.
Yeah. Well, I'm really anxious for everybody to hear this. And this is from an upcoming Naxos compact disc, which will be released when? Do you have any idea?
Probably sometime in 07.
In 07. And if you mentioned before, this is the first time this is being aired anywhere?
I believe this is the first time this should be the first during this recording. So.
Well, let's see what happens. Our performance is by pianist Nora Skuta, and we also hear the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra conducted by Kirk Trevor. Once again, this is the Piano Concerto, Opus 649, by my guest, Carson P. Kuhlman. Just absolutely delightful. You just heard the piano concerto composed in 2005 for piano and strings by my guest, Carson P. Kuman. You heard pianist Nora Skuta along with the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra conducted by Kirk Trevor. And this is from a Naxos compact disc due to be released in the next several months. Carson, welcome back again. Again, it's great to have you here. Let us go to the process of composing a little bit. Is it correct to say that you write entirely on commission, or do you compose some works for yourself?
I would say it's fair to say at this point I write only on commission. That's not to say there aren't some projects that I want to do, but before I do them, I find a way to make them be commissioned or find someone to make them happen. I'm not the kind of composer who can just write works for the sake of writing them. I need to have a particular context, commission, or a circumstance for writing it.
Right. Well, let us go now to this specifically the composition of a work. Do you begin? How do you work? Do you begin at the beginning? Do you go to the end? Do you start with an idea or theme? How does Carson P. Kuman compose?
Well, I begin. I guess the very first thoughts begin once the project is scheduled and contracted and decided upon, and usually the delivery date may be a year or more away. But at that point, sort of in the back of my mind, I start thinking about it. And in the months leading up to the time that I've allotted myself in my schedule for the writing of it, I'm thinking about it a lot. Usually writing anything down, but I'm thinking about it a lot and planning out the shape. And then when it comes time to do the actual writing, I come to that point in my schedule. Then I lay out the whole piece first on a big table. That may take a week or more on sort of sheets of sketch paper and things. I have the whole shape of it, the whole work worked out. And then from then I move towards the actual writing of the final score for it.
If you're writing, one question related to this, if you're writing an orchestral work,
yes.
Will you find out, for example, what some of the various better performers are, soloists are, what their style is, or?
I would say not for a straight orchestra piece. For a concerto or a chamber work with soloists, that might at some level influence what you write. But I'm always trying, like many composers, to write works that will have other performances as well. And you don't really want to customize something so specifically to a circumstance that has no life beyond that.
That I find is a very difficult problem with so much contemporary music, is that someone will be commissioned, the premiere will happen, and it may get very good reviews, or the audience will be very excited about the work. But unfortunately, it takes a long time to hear it again.
Right.
That is a definite real problem.
It's a big problem with a lot of organizations that do commissioning and often do it in the sort of tokenistic way, and they want a premiere, they want a new piece for them, and there's that is wonderful that new pieces are happening.
But let's think about the future.
Yeah, there's rarely a commitment to necessarily looking for valuable older works and performing those that a composer might have.
Yeah. So. Well, let's go now a bit to your output. You have, of course, written a large variety of works. Is there a genre or type of piece you enjoy doing more than others?
Definitely, I would say pieces with soloist of a somewhat concerto nature. Might be with orchestra. It might also be with a soloist or a group of soloists in a small ensemble. And that configuration is always the easiest and the most inspiring for me.
Right. Well, we are going to now continue with your Sonata for Flute and Piano, written in 2005. Now, you recently graduated with your master's from Carnegie Mellon.
Correct.
Now, were these recordings made at the university?
This was a live performance given of my flute sonata at Carnegie Mellon, which has a tremendous flute program.
Okay.
And this work was written. I felt being there was a time, if any, to write for the flute. So,
Well, tell us, do you have any more you'd like to share with us about this piece? If not, tell us our performance.
Right, it's in two movements. The first is called Chanson, and the second, Fantasy Variations. The first is a sort of flexible song-like movement that builds to various climaxes, and the second movement is a is a fairly traditionally structured set of variations on material presented at the beginning. So it's a reasonably straightforward piece. This performance is by Brooke Ferguson, flutist, and Van Sargesen, pianist. This was the premiere performance and recording.
Well, we're going to hear it now. This is the Sonata for Flute and Piano, composed in 2005 by my guest, Carson P. Kuhlman. Thank you. You just heard, obviously, a live performance of the Sonata for Flute and Piano composed in 2005 by my guest Carson P. Kuhman, and our performers, Carson, were...
Brooke Ferguson, flute, and Van Sargassian, piano.
Okay, and as you've known already, Carson P. Kuhman is my guest today. He was here from 8:30. He is 24 years old and has already composed over 650 works, and he has done a tremendous amount of other things musically as well, and we will have more of his music and more conversation in just a moment.
WPRB is proud of its unique programming format. If you would like to support WPRB by advertising on our airwaves, you can contact our sales department by dialing 609-258-3656 or emailing sales@wprb.com.
WPRB wants you to know that it takes a truck twice as long to stop as a car. Make sure you aren't the one it's stopping on. When you pass on the highway, give those big rigs plenty of room. This has been a public service message from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration and WPRB. Just heard my guest Carson P. Kuhman perform his First Light Prayer, composed in 2003, as performed on the organ of Memorial Church at Harvard University. Up until 11 o'clock, I am being joined by the American organist and composer Carson P. Kuman. Carson, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let us discuss your work as a concert organist, which I find fascinating. Altogether, over 150 works have been written for you. Have you commissioned all of these, and who were some of the musicians who wrote for you?
It's been a real combination of things. Some were commissioned, some were commissioned for me by other individuals and organizations. Some were just written for me by their composers, for all different circumstances. And it's been a wide variety. That piece of mine you just heard, First Light Prayer, was actually dedicated to Daniel Pinkham, the composer, on his 80th birthday. And he is a composer who has written a few works for organ for me. And I've performed a great deal of his music. He's certainly a well-known figure in the organ world. But I've also premiered and commissioned and brought about a number of pieces by composers who haven't written for the organ before, and that's one of my goals, particularly with younger composers, and to commission them to write their first pieces for organ and to present those in performance.
Very interesting. The CD we just heard is titled "Morning by an Ocean" and is on the Jade label, produced in Australia. You have been very much involved with Australian music, and several of your pieces are on Australian labels. How, Carson, did you become interested in Australian music, and how did your music end up being released on an Australian label?
Yes, it was probably about 8 or 9 years ago. I came into contact with Derek Strahan, an Australian composer, and I don't actually remember which one of us contacted each other first, but regardless, it began a significant correspondence that we had. He introduced me to Robert Allworth, another Australian composer who is the producer, the recording producer for Jade Records. And I began performing a number of organ works by Australian composers to which they had introduced me. And some of these were recorded. And over time, that led to both my recordings of Australian music and some of my own work to be released on Jade. And then in my freshman year of college, visiting professor that year was Barry Cunningham, a noted Australian composer. And through him that year, I worked with him a lot on musicology issues in Australian music. And that continued to sort of deepen my interest in that area and engagement with those composers. And now I've performed a number of Australian organ works, their American premieres, and a number of other chamber works have arranged performances up by Australian composers, and I plan to record a CD of all Australian organ pieces in the future.
And you know where it will be aired.
Yeah.
That's for sure, and people who listen to the show on a regular basis know that I do a tremendous amount of Australian music on this program. Carson, but let's go now to another Australian label, not Jade. Let's go to ABC, which is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation label. What's interesting, and I find this so coincidental, is that I played a selection from the CD we were about to hear exactly a week ago when Jennifer Higdon was here. There is a piece of hers on this disc, and the CD was actually put together, if you weren't here last week, in an interesting way. It was actually a type of competition, right? How did that work?
It was the conductor, Sean O'Boyle, who was doing a series of recordings for ABC Classics, solicited composers to... Originally, he wanted works that would be suitable for dance purposes, not necessarily written specifically for that, but had that. And many, many people submitted works to him at that point, and he chose the ones that he wanted to include on that CD. And there ended up being a number of Americans on this recording that he did with the Tasmanian Symphony on ABC Classics. So,
what I mentioned to you before, which I think is funny, is that three of the Americans, in fact, I don't know how many other Americans there are on the CD other than the three, but all three have now been guests on this program. And I find that so coincidental. Anyway, Carson, from this CD, we are going to hear your Night Songs, composed in 2001. Now, the work was actually dedicated to a very important musical figure.
It was commissioned for a concert in honor of the 90th birthday of Giancarlo Menotti, the important Italian-American opera composer. And there aren't specifically any connections to his work in this music. I admire some of his operas, certainly not all of his work, but some of his operas certainly are important, strong pieces that I've found influential in my own operatic work. And so this piece was dedicated to him.
Well, we're going to hear it now. These are the Night Songs by my guest, Carson P. Kuman, and the Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra is conducted by Sean O'Boyle.